thought that song was very fitting from the standpoint that we can't get our dishes clean with water, but there's power in the blood that cleanses the darkest of sin. Think about that. There is definitely power in the blood. Well, greetings to each one of you this morning. It seems like we're all a little dead this morning. What's the problem? Or is it just me? It sounds like it. Maybe my ears are plugged too. I told Tim he can't put anything in one side because it'll probably go out the other. So be careful. A couple months ago, one of my grandsons mentioned the fact that the message that he had heard, he had never thought of some of the things of how the types in the Bible. And you all know that I love the types. And so, of course, I perked up my ears and was listening to see, and he had just never realized, and I think it was on the story of Joseph. And yes, Joseph is one of the types. And then I got to thinking about some of the other characters in the Bible and their types. And I realized that I don't think, to my knowledge, and it's been 40 years now that I've been in the ministry, I don't think I have ever preached on Isaac. And so this morning I'd like to share a message on Isaac and Rebecca. And I want to see, when I get done, if you recognize the types. Because we have the account on the road to Emmaus on that resurrection morning when the two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus came up to them and wondered what they were talking about, and they started saying about all these things, and he said, "What things? What are you talking about?" And that's very interesting that Jesus knew exactly what they were talking about, and he knew exactly all the stories, but he said, "What things?" And so they went on and shared to him, and then he comes up in the last verses of that account, basically, and says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then verse 27 of that chapter says, "In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, where did he go? What did he share? It would have been really interesting to have been on that walk that morning. But he met these two disciples where they were, and he shared with them. Did he go to Genesis 3:15, the first promise of the Redeemer? Is that where he went? I have to believe that he talked about Isaiah 53, for instance. And he may have talked about Genesis 22. Which if he would have told them Genesis 22, they would have had the complete story of where Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah and was going to sacrifice him there, but then a substitute was there, which would have been an Old Testament story that they knew. I'm sure they knew. Had they ever put it together? Apparently not. Because he reminded them, I believe, and I believe that he was one of those. Because God knows what it's like to sacrifice a son. And we see that in that particular account there in Genesis 22. According to the Talmud, Isaac would have been 33 years old when he was taken to be sacrificed. Who else was 33 years old when he was sacrificed? We know. So we have a lot of types in that account. Abraham there anticipated Isaac's resurrection, but that proved unnecessary because a divine substitute was provided. The ram was provided. And yes, we could say a lot about that chapter. But that's not the one I want to talk about this morning. We go to Genesis, at the end of Genesis 22, It gives an account there of, gives a genealogy a little bit, names, different names. And we're introduced to a young lady by the name of Rebecca. And then we go to Genesis 23, and we really don't have much about Isaac and nothing about Rebecca, but we have Sarah's death. And I think if Jesus would have told these two men the account of Genesis 24, they would not have understood. But I think it's Genesis 24 is a chapter with many types in it that I hope that we understand. Would we have understood if we'd have been walking there and he would have, in New Testament times, I'm talking about New Testament times, of the story here in Genesis 24. And we want to read that story this morning. But Sarah dies here at 127 years old in chapter 23. And Isaac was born when she was 90, so that at this point puts Isaac at 37 years old. It's always interesting to me. We sometimes think the Bible doesn't tell us things, but a lot of things can be figured out if you read all 66 books. It'll be there. Even Peter and Paul mention things that bring things to light that's in the Old Testament. But he's 37 years old now, and he's not married yet. So let's read. Turn with me to Genesis 24, and struck me that Tim said he was going to read the whole chapter. Well, I'm going to read the whole chapter here too. And this is the longest chapter in Genesis. So follow along, and I'm going to attempt to read all of it if my eye stays with me. Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I'm going to stop once in a while in this chapter. But who is Abraham's eldest servant? Someone tell me. We were just told a couple chapters before this who he is. But here, for some reason, it doesn't tell us. He's Eliezer. The word Eliezer, name Eliezer, means the God of help or a helper. So kind of keep that in mind. Verse 3, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of all the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Why not? Why not just get one where they're at? Verse 4, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son hither again. So Abraham is in the land that God has promised, and he wants a wife for his son. He says, don't go back. Don't go back to those heathen. I mean, he was living among heathen there, but he says, don't go back there. We're here. God has promised me this. So don't go back there. Verse 9, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods, now notice this, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now, checking this out, the route that he probably took was 900 miles. Keep that in mind. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, God answers prayers before we even finish asking them, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. He put his prayers in action. And he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Remember, there were 10 camels. How much water can a camel drink? Up to 30 gallons times 10 camels. You do the math. This young lady did some work. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. We have a wonderful story there, just in that short story of that part. Do you see the leading and the guiding of the Lord here? What else could he do but to bow down his head and worship the Lord? Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. You suppose things were already going through Laban's mind? And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. He had a mission that was more important than eating. He had a mission that was more important than eating, and he was not going to eat until that mission was accomplished, or he knew where he was at. So he was told, well, go ahead, what's your mission? And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become a great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and menservants and maidservants and camels and asses. After all, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, doesn't he? And we are joint heirs with that. Did you think about that? We are heirs and joint heirs. Verse 36, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. The son has everything. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Tremendous faith in what the servant was going to accomplish for him in Abraham's mind. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which has led me to the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. This would have been something that the Jews would have done and still do, I think, from the standpoint that there was a dowry given. There was a guarantee given, basically, here. We have a guarantee. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the earnest money has already been put, the down payment has already been made. Verse 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, "Oh, let the damsel abide with us a few days, or at least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away, that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel, inquire of her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, and here's a phrase I want you to remember, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they went away, or they sent Rebekah. They sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. I'm going to stop there a little bit and ask the ladies a question. You're with the master servant, and you're going 900 miles by camel. You're going back to marry a man you've never seen. And you've got all this time to ask him some questions. What questions would you ask? Ladies, what question would you ask?
Does he have a good character? Does he love God?
Okay. You've never seen this person. How tall is he? What color hair does he have? Is he in good health? I mean, the questions could go on and on. And I've got 900 miles to ask these questions. I am sure she asked a lot of questions. But she went along with him. Verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. Now that's the same well that was named. It means the God who sees, when Hagar and Ishmael needed water. 63, and Isaiah went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. She showed her modesty and her submission by veiling herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her to his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. How many wives did Abraham have? How many wives did Jacob have? How many wives did Esau have? How many wives did Isaac have? I only want to answer to the last question. How many wives did Isaac have? Anybody?
One.
Why only one? Well, now tell me the types in this chapter. Because we're living in them. Anybody want to be first?
Rebekah is the church.
Pardon?
Isaac is Christ,
just like he was in chapter 22.
Pardon?
The Father took the initiative.
Father took the initiative? Who's Eliezer? The Spirit? Do you see what the bride was inheriting? Do you see how the Holy Spirit had one mission in mind? It's still the same mission. It's still the mission of the Holy Spirit today. Do you see the question that the bride was asked? Will you go with this man? And what was her answer? I trust that it's every one of our answer. If you have not made that decision this morning, then you need to also say, I will go with him. So let's just kind of do a synopsis of this. So Abraham here is he's an old man and he's dying, but before he does, he wants to find a bride for Isaac. So he sends this nameless servant, which we know is Eliezer, to his relatives to find a wife. And the Holy Spirit does what he is sent to do. He finds a bride for Isaac. And he brings her home. And like I said, the most important question here is, wilt thou go with this man? And when she said, I will go, it changed her life forever. Did it change my life? Did it change your life? When you said that you will go, you will do what the Father has asked. You will go to him. So from a spiritual viewpoint, everything kind of boils down to the very same question. So I'll just go over some of these. Abraham is a picture of God the Father. The servant represents the Holy Spirit. Rebecca is the bride, the church, or those who are saved by grace. And Isaac, of course, is the picture of Jesus. So God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit into the world to call out a bride for his son. And like Abraham's servant, the Holy Spirit does not promote himself, but he talks about Jesus, and he calls lost people to him for salvation. If we would go to John 16, we can see what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. And in verse 13 of that, I'm jumping into the middle of this, but he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." You suppose that was happening on the way home on the 900 miles? "And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." I can just see this happening in that 900 miles back to where they were going. And that's kind of, if you want to make a type out of, that's where we're walking right now. We're walking here. We see, he shows us things. We walk with him. He glorifies the Son. He glorifies the Father. "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he that shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Are you being shown what is happening? Are you letting the Word? Tim talked a lot about the Word. I think we need to let that Word show us. Are we doing that? And those who have Jesus revealed to their hearts by the Holy Spirit and hear him say, "Wilt thou go with this man?" We are brought face to face with the greatest question that we can ever face. And brothers and sisters, how you answer that question this morning will determine your destiny. Will you go with him? Have you done that? Now we go back to verse 63, and Isaac there says went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And another thing we see here as a type is that this is the first mention of Isaac since he was left on the top of Mount Moriah. We see that in Genesis 22, verse 19. And we see nothing of Isaac from the time of his rescue from death, or we might say the symbolic resurrection there that he had, to the time that he was united with his bride. Interesting. Jesus has went back to the Father, and he is not will not be seen until we see him as the bridegroom, just like Rebekah. In all this, we see the coming together of Isaac and Rebekah as a remarkable picture of the coming together of Jesus and his bride. But only if we have said that we will go with him. Have we done that? The lovely bride was divinely met. She was chosen. She was called. She was lavished with gifts. We have so many blessings, so many gifts. And we haven't even seen half. I don't think we've seen a tenth of what is available to us if we join the bridegroom. She was entrusted to the care of the servant until she met the bridegroom. And when we as a bride go in the rapture, the Holy Spirit goes with us. The Holy Spirit is no longer on earth because the Holy Spirit lives within us. If you are a part of the bride, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We again thank you for your word. Your word has so much in it for us. And as we look at it and study it, there's so many things that if you walked with us this morning and told us this story, wouldn't we have recognized it? Would we have thought about it? Father, I trust that we would, not be ignorant of your word and what it says and how it lays things out for us. Father, just bless us. We ask that you would just go with us now, each one of us who have named the name of Jesus, who are following you, who are going to be a part of that. We long and we wait for that day when you will come back and you will take us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Father, we thank you for that. We look forward to that. And so we would just ask that you would go with us until that time. Let the Holy Spirit dwelling within us guide and direct us as we go, that we might truly end up at the right place. So Lord, bless us and keep us. Go with us this week according to your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.